chapter 3. We're going to read verse number 19 down through verse number 25. I'll give you just a moment to find your place there, and we'll read a few verses and we'll get started tonight. Galatians chapter number 3. And starting in verse number 19, we left off last week, verse number 18. But the Bible says in verse number 19, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." And so we'll try to get down through those verses tonight, and there's a lot of good things in these verses. We certainly won't be able to pull all of them out, and just to be honest, I don't know that I understand everything that's in all of these verses, and if we came back and went through it again next week, we'd learn some things next week we didn't see this week. That's one thing about God's Word, is that it's alive, and it's not like a man wrote it, and it's exhaustible. God wrote it, and it's just like God, inexhaustible. And so we look tonight, and just by way of review, we think about chapter number 3. We've been looking at the relationship between the law and faith. The law was given to Moses. He's talking about the law here over and over again. And some people say, well, that was talking about the ceremonial law. That was talking about the feast days and, you know, all the things that were added under the law. But specifically, what the Apostle Paul is talking about is the law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, what we know as the Ten Commandments. Not forget about, but you may have heard these 630 commandments under the law, 613, something like that. You say, I never heard of that. I don't know about all them. Don't worry about them. We can't even keep the 10. if we had to think about don't mix wool and linen and some of the stranger things under the law you read about, you'd go crazy thinking about all of those things. The Jews couldn't keep it. They couldn't even keep the 10, let alone the other points of the law. Then they came along and they added law on top of, you know, they had man-made traditions and things. They took what was already impossible to keep and made it harder, if you can imagine that. But Paul is talking about the law, the keeping of the law, the giving of the law. And when we think about the law here, he's talking about the Ten Commandments specifically speaking. Now, the law was given to Moses. The promises were given, or the promise was given to Abraham. If you look back in verse number 17, the Bible said over there, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect." He's talking about the law coming along 430 years after the promise was given to Abraham. Now, we've started out just about every week in verse number 3. Chapter 3 and verse number 3. "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" And the Galatian churches had begun in the Spirit. They had accepted by faith the gospel message preached by the Apostle Paul. They were saved by faith. They had received the Spirit of God by faith. They had begun to walk in faith. But some people had come along, the Judaizers, the legalizers, and had begun to teach them and convince them that what they really needed to do was to go back under the law, that they really couldn't be saved without the law, that they really couldn't be perfected or justified without the law, that they had to go back under the law. And so that's why we call them the Judaizers or the legalizers. They were trying to get the Galatians to perfect by the flesh what God had done and what God had started in the Spirit. And so that's what he's saying in verse number 3. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And so that's sort of the theme of verse number 3, or chapter number 3. But we come back to verse number 19. This is where we're starting tonight. And look how this verse starts out. It says, wherefore. And we know when you find wherefore, you go back and see what it's wherefore, therefore, what was said right before that. So if we go back to verse number 18, the Bible said, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so he's just been talking about the promise that was given to Abraham. And in contrast to the law. So he comes to verse number 19. He said, wherefore then serveth the law? If the law didn't save, and the law didn't save Abraham, and the law doesn't save us, he's asking the question in verse number 19, what is the true purpose of the law? What was the purpose of the law? Schofield has this note, the true intent of the law. What was the true intent of the law? What is the meaning or the purpose of the law? If it was not given to save, it was not given to justify us, why was it given? That's what he's asking. And so why was it given? Wherefore then serveth the law? So we're going to look at that. And there's several things in verse number 19 going on down that explain to us the true purpose of the law, the reason the law was given. And so he asks the question, verse number 19, wherefore then serveth the law? What was the purpose of the law? That's what we're going to learn. Look what it says in verse number 19. It was added because of transgressions. And so the law was added because of transgressions. Now, what does it mean it was added? Well, if we look back in verse number 17, you know, it didn't come along till 430 years after the promise was given to Abraham. Why was it added? Why did God come along at this late date and add the law? The Bible said it was added because of transgressions. It was not added to keep us from sin. They'd already sinned. There's no going back and undoing what has already been done. Just like you and I or anybody tonight, if somebody all of a sudden comes to the realization, I've broken the law of God. Well, you can't unbreak it. You can't come along and say, I won't break it anymore. No, you've already broken it. And so the law is not to save us. We're not saved by keeping the law. The law does not keep us from sin. We've already sinned. The law was given to reveal sin. And so look what it says in particular. It was added because of transgressions. Now, sin is one thing. Sin, we all know probably sin is to miss the mark. I've given this little definition many times down through the years. Sin is any word, thought, or deed against God's will. So anything we've ever said, anything you've ever thought, anything you've ever done against God, you've sinned. You've missed the mark. We've already sinned. Transgression takes it a step further. Can you get worse than sinning? Yeah, be a transgressor. That's to break the law that you already knew that you shouldn't have done it. It's one thing to break the law and you didn't know that you were breaking the law. So I've used this illustration because we've all done it. You say, I didn't know the speed limit changed. You was going 55, somewhere along the line it went to 45 and 35 and 25. And you're not paying a bit of attention and you get pulled over. And you might honestly, I didn't know it changed. I didn't know I was in a school zone. We've all been there. We've all done that. And so you find out you're in a school zone and you get pulled over and you're caught red-handed. What can you say about that? Nothing. I was speeding. I did speed. I didn't mean to. Maybe you didn't mean to. You can plead your case. I won't do it again. I promise. Anybody ever been there? Sure you have. If you say you haven't, well, you just sinned. You'd lie. I didn't mean to. I broke the law. I won't do it again. Well, let me ask you something. You ever been pulled over? You ever been stopped? You said, I won't do it again. Have you sped since then? Now you're a transgressor. You maybe the first time didn't know. But if you have ever sped since then, you are now a transgressor. You broke the law knowing what the speed limit was, knowing there's a school zone there, knowing there is no law that says you can go 7 miles over the speed limit. But I do it all the time. I'm a transgressor. And we went to Winston the other day. I willfully set my cruise control 7 miles over the speed limit. Because we pretty much know we can get by with that. But that's transgressing the law. Now, if I'm going 7 miles over the speed limit and somebody passes me like I'm sitting still, they ought to get pulled over. Where are the cops? That guy's going to get somebody killed. That's how we are. Now, who's the transgressor? Both. Both. There is no difference. We've all broke the law. And we've all transgressed against the law of God. You say, somebody, surely there's not there's a difference between me. I'm trying to live moral and do the right thing. Surely there's a difference between me and the guy over here that's, in jail and he's robbed people and he's stolen things. Well, there's a difference as far as quality of life. I'm free. They're not. But as far as being a transgressor, we've all transgressed. We've all broke the law of God. The law was added because of transgressions. The law was added, but to point out that we've not only all sinned, but we've all broke the law of God. Some have broke more laws. But if you're going 7 over, you're going 15 over, you still a transgressor. Some have broken it exceedingly. Some have broken it more. But it's one thing to know that we've sinned, but it's a whole nother thing to find out that we've transgressed against the law of God. And the law was added because of transgressions. And we're going to get down to how come we need to know that we've transgressed the law of God. But we're not there yet. So it was added because of transgressions. Till seed should come. Now I want to stop right there. That little word till. The word till reminds us that the law was a temporary thing. It did not come in at the beginning. It came in much later. Far past creation. Past Adam and Eve. Past Noah and the ark. And past Abraham 430 years. The law didn't come until much, much later. And when it did, it was just temporary. Till. Now, till when? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So it's temporary. The seed that it is talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ, because the promise was made to Abraham. If you go back to verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The seed that it's talking about that should come in verse number 19, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The law was until the Lord Jesus Christ. It came in until the fulfillment of that promise. God came to Abraham and he said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now the only way all the nations are going to be blessed is by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have Abraham and all of his descendants, but you never have the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have a worldwide blessing to all the nations. You've got to come to Christ. Because Christ died just for the Jew? No. He died for all. That's how all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through Abraham. It's through his seed, which is, according to verse number 16, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what it's talking about in verse number 19. The law was till Christ comes. That's what verse number 19 is saying, to who the promise was made. Now, the last part of verse number 19 and verse number 20. And it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator, period. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, I spent a lot of time looking at the last part of verse number 19 and verse number 20. There is not a lot of controversy. Now, some of these other verses, there's a lot of controversy about. But verse number 19 and verse number 20, there's not a lot of controversy concerning this passage. There's a lot of silence concerning this passage of Scripture, which just simply means this. There's a lot of smart people that they don't know what that means. I've got several commentaries on the book of Galatians and different writers and even, commentaries on my online Bible or my Bible on my phone. There's some good commentaries on there, and several commentaries just leave the whole verse out. Don't say a thing about it. J. Vernon McGee, does not say one word about it. In his commentary, it goes from verse 19 right down to verse number 21, doesn't say one word about it. Oliver B. Green doesn't say anything about it. H.A. Ironside has it, and he puts it in there, but he doesn't really say anything about it. And Albert Barnes has a whole lot to say about it. He's a very in-depth commentator, but all he basically says about it is, here's what everybody else says it is, but I don't agree with them. And then he says, I'm going to tell you what I think, but it might be wrong. So there's some verses in the Bible like that. There's not a lot of controversy, but there's a lot of silence about it. Well, what is Paul talking about? I mean, you can make a case for anything if you spend enough time. But the Apostle Paul, he wants us to understand, not understand. So there's got to be a meaning to verse number 19 and verse number 20, what that's talking about. So I'm going to give you my two cents about it. And I wouldn't argue with anybody about it, but what I think about it, when there is a mediator in the Bible, when he's talking about a mediator to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, when there is a mediator, there is two parties. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to be a mediator. You got somebody that's in between. Most make the mediator Moses. And I do think it's talking about Moses in verse number 19, to whom the promise was, or when it says, and it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. Most people think that's talking about Moses there because God gave him the law. God gave him the law on Mount Sinai, and he turned around and gave it to the people. Remember that. God said, Moses, come up. He gave it to Moses. Moses said, don't come near the mountain. Don't touch the mountain. If you touch the mountain, you'll die. He gave it to Moses. Moses was supposed to give it to the people. And this is what the Bible says, John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, the mediator, I believe in verse number 20, we have to think a little bit differently, that it's not talking about Moses there, but it begins to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. The reason I think it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ there is taking the word mediator and what else the Apostle Paul says about a mediator and being one and it being God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I believe that one that it's talking about in verse number 20 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me. Keep your place here and go back to Genesis chapter number 15. I want to show you an example of what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter number 15, and this is part of the Abrahamic covenant. We find part of it in chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 17. But I've said this several times, but I've not yet pointed this out, that the Abrahamic covenant was an unconditional covenant, meaning God came to Abraham and God said, this is what I'm going to do. He didn't place any, now Abraham, you've got to jump through this hoop, you've got to keep this law, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. Abraham just believed God. God came to Abraham and said, this is what I'm going to do. And the Bible said Abraham believed God. That's an unconditional covenant. God took it upon himself to fulfill this covenant, no matter what Abraham or his descendants did. Now, Genesis chapter number 15, and we're going to cover quickly several verses here. This is the Abrahamic covenant. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Up to this point, Abram still does not have Isaac. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He's confirming the covenant he's already promised to him. Your seed's going to be as the stars. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Not only am I going to make you seed like the stars, I'm going to give you this land. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. So Abraham goes, and he takes all these animals, and he divides them, lays them out, everything but the birds. Verse 11, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. So Abram had just asked, how do I know that this is going to come to pass? And God said, get these animals together. And Abram got the animals together and he divided them and put them both on each side. That's what happened. And notice what it says in verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. So he told him there about what was going to happen in Egypt. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. So notice what happened there. Abraham laid out everything for a sacrifice like God told him to do. And this is how men would make a covenant in those days. But when it come time to confirm the covenant, Abram fell into a deep sleep. But the Lord passed between those pieces. The Lord did that by himself. That's what it says. Verse 17, when it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. That was the Lord. The Lord was saying to Abram, Abraham, you're over there asleep. I'm going to do this. He was confirming the covenant between him and Abraham. It was God that did it. Abraham didn't do anything. Verse 18, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. That's why we say it's an unconditional covenant, because God confirmed that covenant by himself. Usually when there's a covenant, it's two parties. But in this case, God was the one that confirmed the covenant while Abraham's over there asleep. God said, I'm going to do this, Abraham. I'm making this covenant. So if you think about that, then you go back to Galatians. And to me, in verse number 20, that makes perfect sense. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. That promise came from God, and Abraham didn't have anything to do with it. And by the way, the law came from God. And man didn't have anything to do with that either. God gave the law. He is one. If anybody can make a covenant and they don't have to have two parties, it's the Lord. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And he made a covenant with Abraham, an agreement with Abraham. And I believe that's what that's talking about in verse number 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one. The way we look at covenants and things, you got to have at least two people. But now, God can do what he wants to do. And if God wants a promise to do that for Abraham, that's God's business. He is the one. Verse number 21. The Bible said, is the law then against the promises of God? So he's asking another question here. First he said, wherefore then serveth the law? What's the reason of the law? Then he says, is the law then against the promises of God? And he goes on and he answers his own question. God forbid. No, the law is not against the promises of God. God forbid. Then look what he says. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. What a great truth that is. How do so many people in the world miss that? What is that saying in verse number 21? It's saying, and that is not hard to understand. That is very easy to understand. If there had been a law given, or look what he said, God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there was any other way for man to be saved, other than Jesus Christ going to the cross, God's only begotten Son dying and shedding his blood for us. If there was some law that could have been given for life, then righteousness would have been able to come by the law. That's what he's saying in verse number 21. If a sinner could be saved by keeping any law, then that law would have been given. If you could be saved by being baptized, wouldn't that be easier than Jesus going and dying on the cross? If that is a law that could have been given, if joining a church, if good works, whatever, if any law could have been given that would give life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. Verse number 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, there's two things in verse number 22 that we learn. Number one, we learn this: all have sinned. Of course, we've went over that several times. And the Apostle Paul here reiterates that one more time. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. So we know that. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, and on and on and on we could go. We know that. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's Old Testament and New Testament. That's the first thing we learn. The second thing we learn is that all may be saved. Look what it says. Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that's everybody, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that belief. Since everybody sinned, guess what? Everybody has the same opportunity also to believe, to be saved. Because nobody can come along and say, well, I'm a little better off in the sin category than everybody else. No, we've all sinned. Therefore, we've all got to come by the same way. And the only way to come is by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing, not by the law. Because there's no law given that can save. He just said that in verse number 21. Not by the law, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All who are saved the same way. They believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now, salvation, we've said this many times, it's always been by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. It's always been by faith through grace. The Bible said about Noah, Genesis 6 and 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace way back before Abraham. And I'm sure that Adam and Eve found grace. I mean, they disobeyed. God came. God showed mercy, grace, favor towards them, shed blood, covered them. All that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in that. But the question in verse number 23, what about people that lived under the law? I mean, I know Adam and Eve, and I know Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But what about these people that lived under the law? What about them? Were they saved by keeping the law? No, they weren't saved by keeping the law. They lived under the law. They had the law. Abraham didn't have the law. What does the Bible say about them? But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Here's the thing about being under the law. Even though they were under the law, we find that there was a provision under the law for mercy for them. They were not saved by keeping the law. God had them to make sacrifices. And those sacrifices were pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in those and there's a lot of sacrifices in the Bible, but in that there is the main figure in the sacrifices was the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was showing them that there had to be a penalty paid because they had broken the law. The greatest day in the Jewish calendar always was the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter number 16, and they had the Day of Atonement every year, and it was the biggest sacrifice of the year, and that's where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and he'd put the bull of the blood there on the mercy seat and all like that. They did that every year. Never did they come to a year and say, hey, we don't have to do that this year. We've done pretty good. Nobody's broke the law. No, every year. And that was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were not saved by having faith that they kept the law, but the sacrifices. The atonement means to cover one more year, one more. All that was until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were saved the same way, by faith in what God said to do. The Day of Atonement. The Passover is a beautiful picture of being saved by grace through faith. If you study about the Passover in the book of Exodus, God said, the death angel's coming. Death is coming to everybody. And here's the only way out. You got to take a lamb. You got to shed its blood. You got to take its blood and you got to put it on the doorpost. And then you have to go in through the blood. And God said, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They were saved by faith in the blood. That was a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, is pointing to the blood. How were they saved? They were saved the same way. They had to have faith in the blood. And you read that, we sing that song, but that's in the Bible. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over them. I'll pass over. And so everybody that went in under the blood, they didn't die. But everybody that didn't, all the Egyptians, the firstborn, died on that night. So they were shut up under the law. There was a provision for them under the law. Verse number 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We use this verse quite often. What was the purpose of the law? See, here's a wherefore in verse 24. Goes back to verse number 19. He said, wherefore then serveth the law? What was the purpose of the law? Then he goes on down, he talks about that. He asks again in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law cannot save anyone. What does the law do? All the law can do is condemn. It doesn't save anybody. It just says you're guilty. Not only have you sinned, but on top of that, you transgressed. You broke the law of God after you knew you shouldn't have done it. You know, we do that. How you feel today? Fine. You lying. Isn't it a beautiful day? No, it's muddy and nasty, and I want spring to get here, and I want that pickup sitting beside the road. There you coveted, and then you lied. You know, we're transgressors. The law points that out. Paul talks about that in the book of Romans as well. We'll not get into that. But the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law condemns everyone. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18, verse number 4. And so the law, what it does, it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have sinned. You've transgressed, broken the law of God. Therefore, you need to be saved. And there's only one way to be saved. And it's not by keeping the law, but it's by and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says. The law was our schoolmaster. What's a schoolmaster do? You're trying, you're learning, but the schoolmaster says, you're wrong. You're wrong. This is actually how it is. You're not saved by keeping the law. You need to be pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what the law does. The law condemns us. It cannot save us. But it can point us to the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what it does. That we might be justified by faith. Surely if anybody really studies the law, they'll have to come to the conclusion that nobody can keep the law. So what's the answer for us? Christ. By faith. That's the only way to be saved. That we might be justified by faith. Now, we'll close with verse number 25. The Bible said, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Praise the Lord. Did anybody rejoice over graduating? Get out from under the schoolmaster? You don't need the schoolmaster anymore once you've been saved by the grace of God. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The law points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The law points out the fact that we're condemned if we remain under the law. But after we're saved by the grace of God, we're not condemned anymore. We're not under the law anymore. Everybody under the law is condemned. But when we are saved by the grace of God, we are no longer condemned. That's what the Bible says in John 3 and 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. All the law can do is condemn. It cannot save. And so we just quickly go on to verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you are the children of God, you're not condemned anymore. We're not under the law anymore. We don't live under the law. We live because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask the question, we close up tonight, and every person in the world comes under one of these headings. Are we under the law or are we under grace? The Galatians had started out under grace, but then they tried to put themselves back under the condemnation of the law, trying to be perfect by the law. They were under grace. You're either under grace tonight, saved, you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not. And according to the Bible, you're condemned already. The law should show us you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You cannot save yourself. That's the purpose of the law. It's a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It's what the Bible says. Now, next week, we're going to look at this, and a lot of people get confused about this, but this subject of being baptized into Christ, what is that talking about? And I didn't want to just run through that, but I want to take some time to deal with that, and we'll finish up chapter number 3 next week. But that's a good thing to think about leaving tonight. Am I under law or am I under grace?